You're listening to the Gordon Damer Show podcast on 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome in. It is the Gordon Damer Show. It is 98.7 FM, ESPN New York. Lots to do. Plenty to keep us busy over the next 60 minutes. Of course, you know the deal. 1 hour. We run through it all. That's how we do. The theme song, saluting those who are doing what you do. All the first responders, the EMTs, the doctors, the nurses, the police officers, but also the truck drivers out there, keeping our world running while we all go through this kind of unprecedented situation, this surreal world that we're all dealing with right now. The delivery guys out there, you guys can't work from home. You don't have that luxury, and we want to know that we appreciate you. We thank you, the firefighters, the cooks, the supermarket workers, all of them. We salute you. I mean, just to think about the situation we're dealing with the pandemic right now, the stress that everybody's kind of under, right? It's the number one topic, number two topic. It's the number three topic. Every minute of the day, if you want, you can allow your mind to go there. And that's stressful enough. But all the people that are out there and still making the world run, people you'll never probably come in contact with directly, but all the people indirectly that make your life possible, we salute you. So we got plenty to keep us busy over the next 60 minutes. We'll update you, of course, on the ever-popular rewatchable movie bracket, the Gordon Damer Show rewatchable movie bracket. Two new matchups today. The voting totals strong again yesterday. We appreciate that. We thank you for that. You can follow it on Twitter, at Gordon Damer. And today, a couple of heavy hitters. I mean, real powerhouses. People, you know, early on were complaining about the first round. Oh, this is tough. I don't know which way I'd go. Tough in the first round. Well, I'm telling you right now, it's only going to get tougher. And the funny thing is, there are two examples that I saw in the last 24 hours. You know, people have brought up, well, you know, you screwed this up, you screwed that up. But I think, you know, looking at the Sweet 16, as we came to it a couple of days ago, Don LaGreca tweeted it out yesterday, kind of looking at our bracket, you know, it's a pretty good Sweet 16. And I would say, yeah, pretty much overall, you know, wild card region, you guys messed that up, but that's on you. I mean, it's not on me. I mean, how could it be on me? I just came up with the movies and I did my job perfectly. But, you know, drama, pretty much right. Action region, pretty much right. Comedy region, pretty much right. Couple of examples of screwing things up, but we'll touch on that. And there were two examples yesterday that I saw of either coming up with lists or coming up with your own kind of bracket where people, you think I screwed up. Wait until you hear what I have for you a little bit later on. But where we start the day is where we were supposed to start the day. As I said, today is March 26th. And there was a time not that long ago, if you listened to the show, where at the top I would kind of run down, you know, it's this many days until Selection Sunday. It's this many days until the NFL draft. For Knicks fans, it's this many days until the draft lottery. That's the next important thing on your schedule. And one of the things that I always obviously have would be it's this many days until opening day. And the date we were counting down to was today, March 26th. Now, obviously, opening day is not going to happen. And it's probably, as I said, not the first thing on your mind today. But if you are a sports fan and you're looking for the distraction of sports, it's just another sad reminder of what we have lost during this horrific situation that we're living through right now. And that doesn't really have an end date. And opening day is one of those sports traditions that you always look forward to, right? It's pitchers and catchers to kind of get you a date in the dead of winter of when baseball will return. And for opening day, there's nothing like it. And in a very uncertain world right now, and there's been other times where we've dealt with uncertainty in the world, it would be great to be able to point to a date and say baseball is going to be back then. And we just don't have that date. There's no way to know that date right now, given the situation that we're dealing with. But Rob Manfred, baseball commissioner, was on with Scott Van Pelt last night to talk about what Major League Baseball is doing. Now, he didn't have all that many specifics. How could he in the world that we're living in? But he made it clear that baseball will return.
You know, I think it will mark a real milestone in the return to normalcy. I think you saw it after 9/11
completely
in terms
agree.
Of the resumption of play. I was there in Shea Stadium that night that we began playing. It was one of the most memorable games I've ever attended. It's an honor for our sport to be regarded in a way that we have been part of our country coming back from some horrific events, and we hope that we can play a similar role with respect to this one.
All right, so there is Rob Manfred, baseball commissioner, on with Scott Van Pelt last night. Now, again, didn't have any specifics. How could he? But he made it clear baseball will be back, and that whenever the recovery from this crisis takes place, baseball will be a part of it. And I got to be honest, it's not like he can tell you all that much right now. But to hear him say that baseball will be back, it might seem simplistic, but it is comforting. Because right now, with so much uncertainty, it's great for somebody to be able to say, hey, don't worry, this will return at some point. Now, he made it pretty clear 162 games is out, right? I think we already knew that. Not exactly any breaking news there. And it's really impossible to know what things will look like until we get some more details on the situation with the coronavirus, and the numbers are going to continue to escalate, clearly because of the amount of tests that are out there. But until we really get our arms around the situation and we can get an idea of, okay, this is when the light at the end of the tunnel will start to come into focus, it's really hard for Rob Manfred to be able to tell you when Major League Baseball is going to be a major focus. But what he did make clear was that baseball, the players are working together, are willing to work together, that there's really nothing off the table. And then Scott obviously asked him about what would be a doomsday scenario for Major League Baseball, right? Because we're almost into April. April starts next month. It's pretty clear that it's not coming around anytime soon, Major League Baseball. Whenever baseball is ready to get back, whenever the situation is under control enough that you can kind of resume normal life, it's tough to say that right now, but is it May? That seems like it's optimistic. That's the date that he kind of, not the date, but the time frame that Rob Manfred kind of gave. Is it June 1st? But what about a doomsday scenario for the season? Here's Rob Manfred.
We're not in control of that worst case scenario. I think that if in fact the situation with respect to the virus is such that it's not safe to resume play, whether it's in alternate sites, empty stadiums, whatever it is, we have to accept that as a reality. You know, it would be a tremendous hardship. It'd be a hardship for our fans, be a hardship for our players, and you know, frankly, it'd be a huge economic hardship for our owners.
All right. So look, you don't want to go there. You're hoping that by, you know, maybe June, we're talking about things. And what I think you took away from the interview, if you saw it, was that Rob Manfred made it clear that everybody within baseball is willing to work towards whatever possibility there can be, and that nothing really is off the table outside of the fact that 162 games is clearly out. It looks like, right? It'd be impossible to squeeze all that time. But he talked about, you know, double headers. He talked about a possible neutral site World Series to allow the regular season to stretch into October, and then the playoffs to be held in a warm weather city, maybe expanded playoff system if you're going to have a shortened regular season. Look, a billion things need to happen first. And the only thing that he really brought up that I thought sounded absolutely horrible, and I think he was just kind of thinking out loud, was the idea of playing double headers and seven inning double headers to get in the most amount of games as possible. I think that sounds terrible. You know, you know what, guys, we're in a real hurry. Everybody gets two strikes now. one out makes an inning. All right. We're just going to speed this up as quickly as possible so we can advance. Look, a billion things that I said need to happen first, but the best plan is the one that needs the least work, right? Like, play as many regular season games as possible, and if that's 110 games, if that's 100 games, if it's 80 games, so be it. This season is clearly always going to be impacted. This season is going to look different, hopefully, than next season or last season. So if you keep that in mind, it's about having a season and not moving as many parts as you really need. So I think that the best plan moving forward, if you can, get to a situation, because think about it. You're going to have to restart spring training, because whenever this, you can't just jump into the regular season. You're going to need a few weeks to get up to speed. So if June 1st could be the new opening day, and there's no way to know that right now, but if June 1st could be the day, you'd have June, you'd have July, you'd have August, you'd have September. That's 4 months of baseball, and it's a whole lot better than things are looking right now. And I think that that's probably the most optimistic you can be right now, given the uncertainty of the world. But I don't think you have to go overboard. I don't think you have to squeeze in as many doubleheaders as possible just to get as many games in as possible. I get that the owners are going to want to recoup as much income as they can. But I would rather have fewer games than have games that are not actual games, right? Just to say, hey, we played this many games, so it's a normal season. This season is always going to have a kind of, not an asterisk because it's nobody's fault, but it's always going to be different than next season's going to be, or this last season was. 1-800-919-ESPN is the phone number. 1-800-919-3776. So obviously a lot of scary stuff out there, as I said, about the coronavirus and everything else. But coming up, we will get into the rewatchable movie bracket. We have two new matchups today, so we have to get on that. We have some actually optimistic news, some positive news, which you don't get very often about coronavirus, so we'll touch on that too. And other stuff to do as well, including people screwing up on things that I came off well looking, doing. Does that sound good? No, that doesn't sound right. Something that I did well that other people screwed up. We gave you a little bit of the sports news of the day. Today, as Rob Manfred, I'm with Scott Van Pelt last night, but I do want to remind you, in these trying times, it's important to remember we pull together as a community. Small businesses all over are feeling, will be feeling, the lasting impact of this pandemic for quite some time. If you are a small business trying to get your word out that you are still serving the community, you're still open, you're still working, let us know. Let us do the heavy work and send us an email. The email, you send it to 987ESPN@gmail.com. And let us know your story. We can pass the word along to our community. And one of the ones that we want to celebrate today and mention today is Friedman's Restaurant. Two locations in Hell's Kitchen and the Upper West Side. 450 10th Ave in Hell's Kitchen. Call 212-268-1100. And 130 West 72nd Street in the on the Upper West Side. You can call 646-864-2289. You can also order on their website at friedmansrestaurant.com or Grubhub or Seamless. So Friedman's Restaurant is the one we want to give a shout out to today. And if you're one of those companies, one of those places that's still operating, still serving food, you have drive-away service, you have pickup service, you have delivery service, hit us up with an email. Let us do the heavy lifting for you, and we all got to come together in this time. And you can email us, 987ESPN@gmail.com. All right, so I said we had some more optimistic news. And look, there's lots of scary stuff. If you're looking for the scary stuff, you can obviously find that in plenty of places these days. It's, as I said before, it's topic number one on your mind. It's topic number two. You can have conversations. I've had them with my wife where we say to each other, we got to stop talking about this. And then 10 minutes later, something, we're talking about, and we're like, oh my God, we got to stop. So it's fantastic. Anytime you can get any kind of positive news, silver lining, something that reminds you, yeah, we will get through this. We don't know when, we don't know how. But yesterday I saw the story about Saints head coach Sean Payton did an interview, I think it was down in New Orleans, where he said that he has been cleared. Now, you remember, I think it was just last week that he had announced that he had tested positive for coronavirus. Maybe it was the week before that, but clearly had a less severe case, a mild case. He had no fever for 8 or 9 days, so he's already feeling better, already getting back to some sense of normalcy, which is fantastic. And the thing that he made clear, the thing that everybody's making clear, whether you've had the illness, you're dealing with the illness, whatever, he's pushing for people to take the advice of experts, which would not seem to be that controversial a position, but who knows these days. And he said, look, here's the deal. Deal with this as people are telling you to deal with it. Social distance yourself, quarantine yourself, you know, take yourself out of the social environment right now. Don't be hanging out. Don't be going outside and hanging with people. And he said, quote, just picture everyone's got a hand grenade on them. How about that? So stay away from everybody. He also said, we're not invincible, and every one of us certainly can catch this thing. We've got politicians, athletes, you name it. They've caught it. Prince Charles caught it. So it doesn't matter if you live in a castle or you live in an apartment. And right, like, that's obvious. At this point, and I feel like at this point we're probably just, it's probably impossible to, if you're not convinced by this point, and I get it. There was a point where I wasn't convinced either. I think everybody had that moment where all of a sudden you had that moment of clarity where you're like, okay, this is something we do have to be taking far more seriously than we were before. And for me, it was the moment that the NBA and Rudy Gobert happened. And as soon as, I mean, that was at a case where I think we had 1,200 cases that we knew about in the country, and already it had gotten to an NBA roster. And that's the point where you're saying, oh my gosh, this is far more serious than it felt like maybe an hour ago. So, all right, enough of that stuff. We obviously do the serious stuff at some points, but we're not going to focus on that exclusively. What we're here, we're the toy store, we're the fun part, so let's get to some of the fun stuff. And one of the fun things that we've been doing on our show, the rewatchable movie bracket. No cancellations there, no postponements. That rolls on. That March Madness always is ready to roll. And two new movies into the Elite Eight yesterday. Two more spots up for grabs today. So before we get to today, and you're going to have some very tough decisions. I'm just laying it out there for you right now, preparing you for what you're going to have to do today if you're going to vote on Twitter at Gordon Damer. But before we get to today, let's go back to yesterday. And let's start in the action region. The action region, the number one seed there, Die Hard back in action against the Terminator. Could Die Hard, could John McClane, even with no shoes, face off against the Terminator and pull off a win? And it turns out it was not close. Die Hard moving on.
I figure you're here to negotiate. Am I right?
You're amazing. You figured this all out already.
Hey, business is business.
You use a gun, I use a fountain pen. What's the difference? Let's put it in my terms. You're here on a hostile takeover. You grab us for some green mail, but you didn't expect some poison pill was going to be running around in the building. Am I right? Hans, Bobby, I'm your white knight.
I must have missed 60 Minutes. Yeah, Ellis, it did not turn out well for Ellis, but it did not turn out well for the Terminator. Not even remotely close. And I thought this one might give people a little bit of a tough decision, but not the case. Die Hard blowing out Terminator 77-23. Terminator just could not compete. Starters for Die Hard were pulled basically after halftime, barely played any in the second half. They were just hooping it up on the bench. And some of the reserves got in there. They put up big numbers. So 77-23. So Die Hard onto the Elite Eight in the action region. And then we moved on to the wild card region. And a kind of an interesting one that you probably wouldn't have drawn up, but that's the fun of the tournament, right? You never know how it's going to turn out. It's not all the number one seeds that always advance. And the wild card region, the Big Lebowski, is already back on campus. They're already done. But Donnie Brasco, the number 11 seed, after pulling off, I guess, a bit of an upset over Carlito's Way in the opening round, was facing off against Back to the Future. Very interesting matchup. Donnie Brasco taking on Back to the Future. And again, not close. Now, this one you kind of figured, right? This was not going to be a close one. Donnie Brasco, fine film, absolutely rewatchable. Al Pacino, Johnny Depp, Sonny Red, Sonny Black. But no, Back to the Future, moving on.
I'm going to read your thoughts. Let's see now. You come here from a great distance?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't tell me. You want me to buy a subscription to the Saturday Evening Post?
No.
Not a word now. Quiet. Donations. You want me to make a donation to the Coast Guard Youth Auxiliary?
Doc, I'm from the future. I came here in a time machine that you invented. Now I need your help to get back to the year 1985.
All right, so the number 7 seed, Back to the Future, not impacted by the lower quality of the second and third installments of the franchise. Clearly, everyone's just focusing on the brilliance of the first installment. And really, you think about it, think about how that might have changed the career of Michael J. Fox. Originally, Eric Stoltz was cast in the, and they actually filmed some. If you go on like YouTube, you can find some of the outtakes from the original. I think they had filmed some scenes already with Eric Stoltz in the Marty McFly role, and it just was not working for whatever reason. So out went Eric Stoltz, in came Michael J. Fox, and away you go. And Back to the Future, the number 7 seed in the wild card region, which is a very live team right now. Certainly, you could envision a scenario where they are going to the Final Four. I don't know if I could see them advancing beyond that point, but you never know. But Back to the Future onto the Elite Eight, and does so pretty easily, right? Not as easily, though, as Die Hard. Die Hard actually had a more of a blowout, but 73-27, and more than 1,000 votes in that matchup, so thank you for that. But you get to see a little bit of the dangers of upsets early on, right? Like people, and this is true of the actual tournament when it takes place. Everybody loves that first round or that second round upset, mainly because you're gambling on it. And if you have the upset, or if it's a team that you don't really have going very far, like a 2 seed or a number 1 seed, and they're going to get knocked out in the second round, and you have some other school from that region, you're pulling for the upset. But the problem with upsets is, it's fun in the moment, but it does take away from some potential better matchups later on. So just to kind of recap a little bit before we get to the matchups for today, the Elite Eight, the movies into the Elite Eight already, and I think you've largely gotten this right. You've got 2 number 1 seeds. Goodfellas is onto the Elite Eight. Die Hard now onto the Elite Eight. In the comedy region, you have the number 2 seed, My Cousin Vinny, onto the Elite Eight. And then wild card region, Back to the Future. So today, 2 new matchups, and let's get a little music for this, Brian. We will start, we will go back to the drama region, and maybe our greatest matchup, the toughest single decision of the tournament so far. And this is the way we drew it up. This is the way I drew it up. You hope for a matchup like this for a spot in the Elite Eight. And the matchup is the number 2 seed in the drama region, Godfather.
Mike, you don't come to Las Vegas and talk to a man like Mo Green like that!
Fredo, you're my older brother, and I love you. But don't ever take sides with anyone against the family again.
One of the great lessons of Godfather. Godfather is brilliant in that every single time, there's so many life lessons that you can learn from the Corleone family. Never take sides against the family, Fredo. Things did not turn out well for Fredo. Things did not turn out well for Mo Green, certainly. But Godfather, things turned out okay for Godfather. Maybe if you were doing a greatest movie of all time, even though it came out so many years ago, more than 40 years ago now, that Godfather would have to be right in the conversation for greatest movies of all time. And it is the number 2 seed in the drama region, but a very tough challenge. We'll see how tough, as they face off against the number 3, the Shawshank Redemption.
But I'm telling you, these walls are funny. First you hate them, then you get used to them. Enough time passes, you get so you depend on them. That's institutionalized.
Yeah, Red's a man who knows how to get things. And we'll see if Red, Andy Dufresne, can get a win against Godfather. So that's our first matchup for today in the drama region, Godfather, Shawshank. Then we move on to as heavy as those movies can be sometimes, we need to mix it up with a little comedy, right? I mean, you need to cut it off with something. You need a little bit of a chaser. So we move to the comedy region, and the number 1 seed there, still in there, still fighting, didn't look good early on, got some criticism for making him a number 1 seed, but they're still there right now. And it is the number 1 seed, Ferris Bueller.
I'm so disappointed in Cameron. $20 says he's sitting in his car debating about whether or not he should go out.
He'll keep calling me. He'll keep calling me until I come over. He'll make me feel guilty. This is ridiculous, okay? I'll go.
All right. We'll see if they can go to the Elite Eight, because Ferris Bueller, very difficult matchup. And it comes against the upset-minded. And I think at this point, in my mind, in terms of our tournament, the bit overrated, but not to take away from them, Wedding Crashers.
I'm not perfect, but who are we kidding? Neither are you. And you want to know what? I dig it.
Jeremy tried to seduce me.
All right, there you go. Wedding Crashers, very easy viewing. I think that that would be the thing I would say about Wedding Crashers. You can just flip that on, pick it up at any point. Now, it's not one that I see on and I'm looking forward to. You know, like when you're flipping the channels and you come across, oh, Godfather's on, bang, or Shawshank's on, bang. Wedding Crashers to me is a little too available for how good of a movie it is. And I think, I love Vince Vaughn. I've loved Vince Vaughn since Swingers. Fantastic. I just think historically, Ferris Bueller has stood the test of time. What was that, 85? And, I was talking earlier about upsets. You know, if we had not had the upset in the opening round, you could have been looking at this point of a matchup of Ferris Bueller versus Animal House. I mean, I know Animal House got bounced early, but in terms of historical comedies, Animal House has the cachet, has the gravitas that I think a Wedding Crashers does not, but it's very easy viewing, and it's more recent, and this is going to be a good test, right? Because it seems like, for our audience, a lot of the audience sometimes has not, you know, gone back to watch some of these historical movies, and Animal House was a perfect example of that. That was a number 4 seed that got bounced in the opening round. So those are the matchups for today. Godfather, Shawshank, Ferris Bueller, Wedding Crashers. Voting will open up in a second on Twitter, at Gordon Damer. That's where you go to vote on which one should be moving on. But coming up, moment of inspiration. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, it's not as easy as it looks. You know, everybody's a critic when you come up with a list, you come up with a bracket like we've done. Yesterday, I saw two examples. One in sports, the other in TV shows. I'm not sure which is worse. I'm pretty sure it's the TV shows list, the TV shows bracket that I saw, which when I bring this up to you, you think I screwed it up. I'm off the hook completely now for any decisions I decide to make.
Hey, everyone. Man, do I miss NBA basketball. And I know you do, too. And I can't wait to get back to a packed arena where we watch our extraordinary players do extraordinary things. But we have to play our role. And I know you're tired of hearing this, but wash your hands. I mean, wash your hands. 20 seconds. Lots of soap. Lather up. And don't be touching your eyes, your nose, and your mouth. But most importantly, practice social distancing. It's not just some phrase. It's our way of life right now, and we have to practice it. So please do your part, and we'll get back to doing what we love to do, and that's watch NBA basketball, and for me, it's call NBA basketball. NBA together. Bang.
And you gotta do it until you get a swish. It's not just about getting the basket in. I thought he was original. That's obviously Mike Breen, the great call, the great voice of the NBA with the advice there, and obviously you've heard it by now about battling the coronavirus and doing the right thing. And just kind of giving you a little bit of hope, like Rob Manfred on with Scott Van Pelt last night on SportsCenter, talking about we will be back. We will get through this together. Sports will be a big part of it. And Mike Breen giving you the little pep talk there about the NBA. Well, eventually, we will get back to a life of normalcy, even though that seems pretty far off in these in the moment that we're living in and the days that we're living in right now. So our moment of inspiration for this Thursday morning, it's the Gordon Damer Show. We take you up until 6. 1-800-919-ESPN is the phone number. Our rewatchable movie bracket, we have opened up the voting for today. Two matchups as we move closer to finalizing the Elite Eight. Godfather, Shawshank, one of the matchups. Both are on. Which are you watching? And then the comedy region, Ferris Bueller versus Wedding Crashers. And we'll see if the recency bias, a lot of the younger listeners know the more recent movies far better than some of the classics. And Godfather, clearly one of the classics. And Ferris Bueller, clearly one of the classics as well. So we'll see how that turns out. You can vote on Twitter, at Gordon Damer. And I mentioned earlier about, you know, it's not that easy sometimes to come up with one of these lists. Especially in my situation where I was trying to keep the movie secret from everybody. I didn't want to give anything away. I didn't even tell Brian. I don't even think I really told you the movies that were for sure in the bracket before we revealed the bracket, right?
No,
I don't think so.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I kept
you gave me an idea of movies,
right?
But,
obviously, yeah.
But no,
I didn't want to give away. I didn't want to give anything away. So the fear is in that situation, if you're not having like a roundtable discussion with people, is the possibility you could screw something up and screw something up really bad. So two examples I think of that. One, I don't know if it's as bad as the second one, but it's mostly because the second one is so bad. But The Athletic, I don't know if you subscribe to The Athletic, but The Athletic came up with their first ever New York Sports Hall of Fame. Athletes who played in New York, and this is of all time, not just recent, not the last 25 years, of all time. So they were trying to come up with a New York Sports Hall of Fame. And again, I think largely they got it right. But there was one, I think one that you really can't argue. So their list, they actually came up with the list. Number one, with the most votes, Babe Ruth. Obviously, right? Babe Ruth, if you're going to have a New York Sports Hall of Fame, Babe Ruth, even though it's 100 years ago, has to be number one. Jackie Robinson, number two. Clearly. Okay, great. Off and running. Mickey Mantle, number three. All right. LT. No problem with that. Lou Gehrig, 4. Joe DiMaggio, 5. Tom Seaver, 6. And you get into the list. I thought there were some that were a little surprising. Martin Brodeur was 10th overall. Okay, fine. You got to make a list. You got to break a few eggs. Jeter. Derek Jeter was number 11, which to me, if you're talking all-time New York, that seems a tad high. Just for me. Speaking of seeming a tad high, 12, Joe Namath. Now, I get it. There's not a lot of competition. It's not like he's going to split a lot of votes in the Jets competition, right? But I thought that was a little high. I get the guarantee. I know it's important, all those things. It's the only championship the Jets have ever won. Seemed, when you're talking about the names listed here, seems a little high. Mark Messier, 13. Patrick Ewing, 14. Mariano, 15. Christy Mathewson, 16. Willis Reed, 17. Somehow, I don't know how this happened, Willie Mays was 18. How the heck is Willie Mays all the way down at 18? That doesn't, I mean, that one's really wrong. And then 19 was Henrik Lundqvist. Now, I get it. He's been a great Ranger. He's been fantastic. But we're talking about all time. Eli was 20, which also, I don't know, maybe recency bias for me seems a little low. But what really seems off is that no member of the Islanders dynasty made the top 20. Now, I get it. It's the Islanders. But it's not like they don't have a fan base at all. It's not like they haven't had a series of accomplishments. They're a franchise with actual accomplishments. They won 4 in a row. Now, the highest rated person of their dynasty was Dennis Potvin. He came in at 21. Mike Bossy was 23. Brian Trottier was not even listed. You know, I mean, it's not like we got dynasties up the wazoo here. You've had basically the Yankees a bunch of times, and you had the Islanders. Knicks never had any dynasty. Mets never had any dynasty. The Islanders had a legit dynasty. It's not a question of whether or not it's a dynasty. They won 4 in a row, and you have Lundqvist on the list before anybody involved in the dynasty? That seems a bit of a stretch. But, you know, look, they're my Islanders. They're your Islanders. But I get it. I'm not the big hockey guy. Okay, fine. And you might think, you're nitpicking, Gordon. All right, maybe. But then I came across, because I've been looking at different brackets to see, you know, ideas for the future, you know, ways we could go. Then there was the Philly Voice. Have you heard about this? They did a bracket about TV shows, streaming TV shows. March Streaming Madness, they call it. Okay, fine idea. And the way they broke it down was they went with 4 different streaming services. Mistake. Mistake right there. I can tell you that right now because not all streaming services are the same, right? But they broke it down. One was Netflix. One was Hulu. One was Amazon Prime Video, and the other was HBO. So Netflix, the number one seed they had there, they got it right. Breaking Bad. Okay, cool. Great. Off and running. Number two, Mad Men. Okay, great. Hulu. Here's a problem. The number one seed for Hulu was Futurama. Now look, I could nitpick and say Seinfeld is there. Come on, it's not even close. We're going Futurama over Seinfeld. I mean, that's the worst ad I've ever seen for Hulu in my life. That's telling me if Futurama is the number one thing you got going, I don't need to be getting Hulu, even though I have Hulu. I like Hulu. Amazon Prime Video, all right, I don't really think that was, again, I think they made a mistake there. The number one show there was House, number two, Downton Abbey. But, all right, then you have HBO. That'll kind of cover up some of the weaknesses of the other brackets, right? You have HBO, the behemoth, the numbers one. If I said to you, you have to come up with a bracket for HBO shows of all the HBO shows in history, what's the number one seed? It's not hard, right? I mean, it's not like it happened in 1956 and it's a historical show. No, it happened like 20 years ago. The number one show in the history of HBO is The Sopranos. Everybody loves The Sopranos pretty much, right? It's groundbreaking. It's probably the most groundbreaking show. And it's in the conversation. Anytime you're going to talk about the greatest show in the history of TV, The Sopranos clearly is going to be a very strong contender. There'll be people that'll say, well, you know what, The Wire. All right, it's not. I love The Wire. Love The Wire. But it's not The Sopranos. Didn't have the impact of The Sopranos. Didn't have the interest of The Sopranos. But okay, if you don't take The Sopranos, if you don't take The Wire, maybe you have the recency bias and the global scope of Game of Thrones, even though you could never rewatch that. How bad did they ruin that? I mean, it ruined the entire franchise. It's awful. The number one seed they came up with was the Larry Sanders Show. Now look, that's a Gary Shandling, Rip Torn, late night talk show. It's very funny, very well done. But come on. I mean, if you're coming up with a, did you not check this with anybody? That was my fear because I didn't want to check it with anybody. But we're the little 1 o'clock, 1 hour show at 5 o'clock in the morning. We can get away with some stuff. And if I screw things up, there's nobody to blame but me. But the Philly voice has to talk this through with someone else. I mean, are there not editors? How can you say it's an HBO division and the Larry Sanders Show is the number one seed? And I would give it a pass if somehow that was the only mistake. If Sopranos was number two, The Wire was number three. The number two seed they put up there was the TV show Girls. I mean, come on, talk about overthinking it. I'm not saying that those two shows shouldn't have made the tournament, but they're not the, when you're talking about HBO, it's not like you have to wonder what the number one show of all time on HBO. It might be the number one show of all time of everything. And that to not be the number one show in your bracket, I feel a whole lot better about my bracket. That's what I took away from it. By the way, is anybody else watching this Lion King? It's not Lion King, Tiger King, right? On Netflix? It's a new documentary series about exotic animal trainers in Florida. I'm two episodes in. It is wild. I mean, that is a wild scene, boy. It's like, whoa, that'll curl your hair. It's on Netflix. It's called Tiger King. And it is it's a documentary. It's about real people. It doesn't seem like they're real people, but they are real people. I don't know if you've checked that out yet, but if we were still doing the Saturday show, we always have Net Picks and Chill, and maybe we'll revise that to a Friday feature on our show here. But that might be a very strong contender because I watched two episodes and I'm saying to myself, is this the real world? Do these people walk among us? Very, very odd. But of course, it's the Gordon Damer Show. We take you up until 6 o'clock, at which time it is Golic and Wingo, so they're getting warmed up. But, of course, if you're just joining us on this Thursday morning, the sports news is, well, among the news, Rob Manfred, baseball commissioner, was on with Scott Van Pelt last night on SportsCenter, made it clear that baseball will return at some point impossible to say right now. And today was supposed to be opening day, right? It was supposed to be the day that all of baseball fans, and even if you're not that diehard of a baseball fan, it just, it kind of signifies to you, you made it through the winter, you made it through the cold days, and the warm weather is not that far off. And unfortunately, because of the situation being what it is, there's no way to know when baseball will return, but Rob Manfred made it clear it will be back. And they will work with the players and the owners will come up with some plan when there's a little bit more definition about where we stand in the world right now. But that 162 games is out, but that basically everything is on the table to come up with a real baseball season, and that the possibilities include neutral site World Series, playing in a warm weather city, so that would allow, you know, baseball to kind of maybe stretch the season into October. The idea, he said, even the idea of playing seven-inning doubleheaders, which sounds to me horrible, sounds like a terrible idea, but the takeaway I took, rather than to nitpick, is everything's available, everything's on the table, and that they'll come up with something, and that baseball will be back, and it will be part of our recovery, as it has been in other times when we've gone through very difficult days. So that's great news there. We touched on the Saints head coach, Sean Payton, already been cleared after he tested positive for coronavirus, so good for him. Good to see that he's in good health and got through his case of it rather quickly and is feeling fine now. And he made the appeal that everybody has been making at this point. We got to take this seriously. Stay away from groups. Stay away from crowds. Stay in your house. It's not asking that much. I know maybe I'm more introverted than most, but I don't have any problem with staying in my house. You don't need to tell me twice. I'll be here. With the amazing things we have in our houses these days, it's fine. I'll stay here. But you got to take it seriously. You're not invincible. And we've already seen the list of famous people that have already contracted this illness. You have to take it seriously and don't be doing things that you shouldn't be, and follow the advice of experts. And then, of course, we have the Gordon Damer Show rewatchable movie bracket, and already very close matchups. We talked yesterday about the blowouts. Die Hard, way over Terminator. Back to the Future, way over Donnie Brasco. The matchups today already, you can tell, going to be much, much closer. And you can vote on the rewatchable movie bracket on Twitter, at Gordon Damer. And in case you're just joining us, the matchups for today, drama region, maybe the toughest decision that you could have right now. Number two, Godfather against number three, Shawshank. And then the comedy region, Ferris Bueller going up against the upset-minded number, I think, 11 seed Wedding Crashers. So very, very difficult matchup there. And you can vote on them on Twitter, at Gordon Damer. All right, so let's get to the phones this morning. We've not squeezed any calls in so far, but let's start it off. 1-800-919-ESPN. We'll go out to Anthony in Bayonne. Anthony, what's going on, my man?
Hey, Gordon, what's going on?
I'm good, man.
Just want to say thank you, man, because I've been stuck driving into work every day into the city, and listening to your show makes the commute that much easier. I wish it was a little bit longer, but...
Yep, I hear you, man. Well, dude, anything we can do, it's our little hour. If our little hour can entertain you for your ride in difficult times, man, that's the best I can do.
HBO got it completely wrong. If you're going to put anything other than The Sopranos, I could understand Game of Thrones, or I could understand even Sex and the City, but not that show. I've never even heard of that show.
Which one? The Larry Sanders Show? Yeah, I mean, look, it's it's a cult classic.
Crazy.
yeah. No, I mean, it was a cult classic, and it does definitely have its fans, and I can understand that. But to think that if you have an HBO, and to be clear, it wasn't HBO that came up with this; it was the Philly Voice that came up with this list. And I don't know what the audience of the Philly Voice is, but it's hard for me to believe. If you're coming up with a number one seed, when you come up with brackets, you want it to be as close to the NCAA tournament. I know it has happened now with Virginia a couple of years ago, but you have to have the number one seed moving on relatively easily if you want to have any credibility about a bracket. It's not very often that the number one seed gets bounced. It's happened one time. So you have to have a number one seed that's a powerhouse. And they had one. Sometimes it's hard to come up with what the number one is. But if HBO, if you listed all the HBO shows, that's not hard. Of course, it's The Sopranos.
The only other thing, real quick, how did Rudy and Top Gun not make your bracket?
Yeah, you know, Rudy was one of them. You know, I feel like Rudy might be a little overrated. We did not have many sports movies in the list. I wanted to kind of keep it to just, you know, I didn't want to rely on the sports audience. And I felt like, and thanks for the call, Anthony, that if we put sports movies in there and put too many of them in there, that it would overpower the bracket, you know, because if it comes up to a sports movie that everybody in the audience has seen and maybe an older movie that they haven't seen, well, then the sports movie is clearly going to win. So I wanted to go with sports movies that would have appeal to non-sports fans. So Major League made it. Caddyshack made it. I'm trying to think if there were any other sports movies that made it in any other. I don't think so. But yeah, so that's why Rudy didn't make it. If we were doing a sports movies, that would probably make it. But I don't feel like it's that strong of a movie overall. It definitely pulls at the heartstrings. It's a good movie, and I'm not saying it's not. But I don't feel like when you're talking about all the movies of all time that Rudy belongs in the conversation. Top Gun, you know, to me, and I'm a huge Tom Cruise fan, and his movies, for whatever reason, just because he's just like so out of his mind sometimes, his movies are super rewatchable. And if you have not seen, what's the one that came out a couple of years ago that is like a sci-fi? Edge of Tomorrow? I think it's called Edge of Tomorrow. And it's kind of like a Groundhog Day sci-fi movie. Fantastic. Him, Emily Blunt, really rewatchable. But you know what? If you had to say the most rewatchable, and we thought about this idea, I thought about having one division of movies that you're ashamed to say you rewatch, I would have to probably say if there was one more Tom Cruise movie that I would include, it would probably be Cocktail. And I'm embarrassed to admit that publicly, that I watch it, and it's just because it is so bad. But he powers through, man. He makes it work. That's what a movie star is, and that's what he does. But, Top Gun did not make the list either, unfortunately. That's not one that if I see on, that's what it has to be. If I see it on, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm powerless to resist. Top Gun is not one of those ones for me. All right, so that's going to do it for today. The hour's already flying by. So please, vote on the movies. Very close so far. These are not blowouts. If you think that Godfather's just going to cruise into the Elite Eight, not the case so far. If you think that Wedding Crashers or Ferris Bueller's just going to cruise, it's up to you. You got to vote. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Friday show. We'll see you tomorrow, 98.7 FM, ESPN New York.
This is the Gordon Damer Show on 98.7 ESPN.